May 4th. May 4th. We'll start with House Bill 5013, Representative Jensen.
He's here.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I haven't even got time to get my proceeding done.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5013 is the budget bill for the Construction Contractors Board. The board regulates the profession of construction contracting through licensing and disciplinary programs. The board provides dispute resolution services, investigates complaints, and imposes fines for violations of Oregon law, including failure to carry workman's compensation coverage. The agency is primarily funded through revenue generated from license fees. The General Government Subcommittee approved an other funds budget of $15.1 million and 80 positions, 78.17 full-time equivalents. The approved budget provides additional resources to expand enforcement and consumer education programs. The subcommittee approved the creation of a new 15-person field investigation unit to reduce illegal activity. The two positions were also approved, and an increased advertising budget to increase consumer awareness, which is expected to reduce consumer complaints and construction-related scams. And finally, two limited duration positions to provide job site mediation services and increased consumer assistance. The agency's performance measures were reviewed and approved with revised targets. The General Government Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5013 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Discussion. Senator Bates.
I want to thank you, thank the co-chairs and all for working on this bill with us. In committee, we found that they were having a very difficult time reaching the key performance measures, did not have the tools or the personnel to do it. And in committee, we had a long discussion about that and presented the bill to you we have today that gives them, I believe, what they need to have to get the job done. This is something also that's supported by the legitimate contractors of the state. They want this kind of authority in order to weed out some real problems that are going on in the state as far as consumer fraud is concerned. So I really appreciate the support of the co-chairs on this and LFO and making some changes that actually occurred in committee. I think it's the way the committee assistance should work. And I appreciate that when we went forward with this, you were there to support us. Thank you.
Thank you. For the discussion, objections, seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5537, the Public Utility Commission. Representative Edwards, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The mission of the Public Utility Commission is to ensure that safe and reliable utility services are provided to consumers at just and reasonable rates. The Commission does this by regulating investor-owned electric and natural gas companies, as well as certain telephone and water companies. The agency's programs consist of the following: utility regulation, residential service protection, which provides equipment, interpretive and financial assistance for impaired and low-income Oregonians, and policy and administration. The Ways and Means Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends a budget of $140,626,996 in total funds and 123.5 FTE for the 2007-09 biennium. The recommendation includes an adjustment which reduces other funds non-limited by $4,020,000 in the utility regulation program to better reflect the amount of revenue and corresponding special payments the PUC expects to make related to the Oregon Universal Service Fund, which offsets the higher cost of telephone services in rural areas. The recommended budget also includes reductions in personal services and services and supplies totaling $332,081 in other funds. This is expected savings associated with part-time employees, services and supplies, renegotiated contracts, and efficiencies and outreach efforts associated with the Residential Service Protection Fund. The subcommittee ratified changes to performance measure targets related to the Energy Trust of Oregon that were presented to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee in September 2006. Three measures deemed obsolete or redundant were deleted. the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends that SB 5537 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Other bills reported out of committee. House Bill 2626 and Gross relating to recycling of electronic devices. Senator Morse, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2626 establishes a statewide system for collection, transportation, and recycling of electronic devices, including computers, monitors, and televisions. The program is designed to be convenient and will be financed by manufacturers through fees. The bill establishes two sets of fees that are paid to the DEQ. The first is a manufacturer registration fee paid by all manufacturers of the covered electronic devices. The bill establishes tiers of fees based on the manufacturer's percentage of market share of covered electronic devices sold in Oregon in the previous calendar year. The second fee is a recycling fee on all manufacturers who choose to utilize the DEQ monitored contractor program instead of establishing their own manufacturer program. The fee to manufacturer participants will be based on their annual return share of recycled products and should be sufficient to cover the cost of the contractor program. Mr. Co-Chair, your Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 2626 be reported out due pass.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to thank you very much. Acknowledge the leadership and hard work of Representative Dean Felder, who's present this morning. Job well done.
Senator Johnson and Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'd like to echo that. This bill came before the session last time, and there were several of us on this panel who, with great regret, did not support the bill because many of the difficult details had not been worked out. And through perseverance and tenacity and hard work, I think we have before us a bill that is has no opposition. And I'd like to acknowledge Representative Dingfelder's work to bring us to this point on this very important issue.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Mayor, I, too, think this is a good bill, but I do have one reservation. Nowhere in the bill that I can find does it discuss what is this going to cost the consumer, our constituents. The folks that are recycling are talking $15 to $25 for a TV set, depending on the size. I think that, I will support this bill in committee today. I want to reserve the right not to on the floor because I do want to find out more about what it is going to cost the consumer in that, as we all know, the manufacturers are going to have to recover their costs, and they recover their costs from the consumer. So from that standpoint, I think we need to look a little further and find out what we're really voting for, how much the cost is going to be to our constituents. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Yes, Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I have not had the opportunity to follow this bill through this process, but I know that when the bill came to the Ways and Means process last time, the question was asked about the potential fiscal impact to the state of Oregon. And I think that based on Senator Wurtz's question, we're setting up a process here to recycle, which I think is an admirable goal. I wonder if I could get some information that would help me understand what the potential impact, fiscal impact, is to the state of Oregon and what was changed in the bill from its last version to take care of those concerns.
We'll get that information for you. Other discussion? Objections? Seeing none, so ordered. All right, House Bill 2982A and Gross, relating to registration fees. Senator Berger, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 2982 abolishes the Environmental Quality Information Account and transfers funds in the account to the Passenger Rail Transportation Account to be used for passenger rail programs. The measure was referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means from House Transportation for consideration of the impact on the budget. The measure dedicates fees collected from the issuance of custom vehicle registration plates to be allocated to the Oregon Passenger Rail Program and establishes an annual renewal fee for custom license plates. The fees generated generate about $4.3 million each biennium and are currently used to pay for litter patrol activities on highways. Since vehicle owners are not required to have custom license plates, the fees are not part of the constitutionally dedicated state highway fund. Because highway trust funds can be used to pay for litter patrol activities, the measure proposes to dedicate the revenue from custom plates to the passenger rail program, providing nearly 50% of the funds for passenger rail service. Since this is an existing fee, there is no fiscal or revenue impact. The co-chair's budget assumes passage of this measure. The Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 2982 be reported out due pass.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Representative Gerard, Representative Jensen, Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'll be opposing this bill simply because it takes dedicated money away from things like Crater Lake, Cultural Trust, etc. So I don't think that's fair to the other custom license plate supporters.
Yes, Representative.
Yes, question. Is this also taking the money away from the veterans on the veterans' license plates that are being sold?
Mm-hmm. I believe that any of the custom they're going to have the administrator, but I believe that it takes away from most. I don't know if all.
Mr. Chair and Senator Berger, Representative Jensen, it doesn't take anything away from any of the other custom plates. It's already a plate that is in existence. It's the plate that you put your name on or some other phrase that people are already purchasing. It's not a new plate, so it won't be taken away from any other plates.
May I further clarify that, Mr. Co-Chair?
Please.
There are two types of custom plates. There is the picture on the plate, which is the Cultural Trust or the salmon plate, and then there are the letters or numbers that are imposed on that picture. This bill deals with the letters or the numbers imposed on whatever picture is in the background. And so it doesn't take away from the Cultural Trust or the other ones.
Madam Clarification. Yes, further question, Representative Jensen.
The answer to my question is then no, it doesn't take away from the money that goes to the veterans from the sale of the Vietnam War veterans plates.
That's correct. No.
Thank you. Representative Morgan?
Question of the carrier, Mr. Co-Chair?
Please.
Senator Berger, was there discussion about the subsidy what the state subsidy per passenger is on the trains?
No, there was not.
Further questions? Representative Hattie, do you have a question?
I think it's been clarified. I was going to make the point about it's okay. All these fees were simply going to the litter patrol service, none of the other activities.
Good point. Thank you, sir. Further discussion? Objections? Seeing none? I see two objections. Representative Roy, Representative Morgan. Passes. Thank you. Senate Bill 107 relating to emission fees from major sources. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. SB 107 increases air pollutant discharge permit fees for Oregon's largest industrial facilities. Title V of the Federal Clean Air Act requires these major sources be permitted. Federal law also requires that the Title V fees pay for 100% of the cost of operating the program. Oregon operates the program under delegation from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. By law, DEQ is able to adjust the fees annually by up to the CPI rate for the Portland metropolitan region. Over time, this small annual increase has fallen behind the cost of operating the program. This has caused a backlog of permits awaiting action in the program, as the department has been forced to cut expenditures to match fee revenue. As amended, the bill would phase in the fee increase over the next few years. With this change, the fee payers now support the increased revenues. Your Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends that SB 107 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended. And by way of an extemporaneous comment, AOI approached me very early in the session about this issue, as did DEQ. I made it known that I would prefer that they work this out, and now AOI supports this phase-in of the fee increase, which was the agreement. And I've asked Mr. Ledger to nod his head that they agree.
We good. Discussion. Objection. Representative Hanna, Representative Morgan. Seeing no others, passes. Other business, Department of Environmental Quality. Senator Devlin, grant.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The subcommittee recommended approving the submission of four federal grant applications to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency totaling $180,000 for pollution prevention and sustainability projects centering on air pollution prevention. The four different grant proposals were a $58,000 grant to pay for sustainability training for representatives of the agency's five program areas who would then integrate what they had learned into day-to-day agency operations. A $12,000 grant designed to reduce vehicle idling while on school property through education efforts to point out the benefits of reducing air pollutants at schools. A $30,000 grant to reduce pollutants from residential wood-burning stoves and fireplaces. And a $80,000 grant to reduce air pollutants from auto body shops. This effort would concentrate on introducing business operators with newer technology and changes in shop processes that can reduce pollutants beyond these levels currently required. On Tuesday, May 1st, after the committee's subsequent to the subcommittee meeting, EPA notified DEQ that they were interested in the 12,000 school idling reduction proposal and the 80,000 auto body outreach project. DEQ will not be submitting the other two proposals for final EPA consideration. All grants require a 50% match. This match requirement will be met using existing staff time and in-kind contributions from grant partners. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends approval of the request.
Thank you, Senator. Questions? Yes, Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have a lot of grants that come before us, and we generally approve them. And I would suggest we look at this one very, very closely. This is goofy as a $3 bill. And I say that with measured intent. When you look at the scope of what is being done and the funding that's provided and the diversion that would occur within the department to go after these very, very small activities with respect to the funding allocation, this is a grant that, in my judgment, does not meet the smell test of acceptance, and I just offer that as my opinion on this particular grant, Mr. Chair. Sure. So thank you.
No problem. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I read the school's idling piece, and I thought to myself, you know, how many bus drivers are there in the state of Oregon? And then when you include others who travel to schools, I mean, I guess that would be every mom and dad that drops a child off to school. And if you divide that by the $12,000, I got to thinking it had to be pennies per person to communicate a message. And it seemed like this one was kind of silly. And I began to wonder. And I have a further question. Did I understand that the integrating sustainability piece went away?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. And Representative Hanna, the federal EPA has a very interesting process. They actually have our state equivalent here, the DEQ, and other state equivalents list options for grants that they're interested in. Then the federal EPA contacts the agency back
and says which ones they will actually be willing to consider. And that's basically what happened in a matter of days here. We had four being sent. The EPA came back and said that they're interested in only two.
So, follow-up, this goes away.
This goes away.
All right.
Further questions? Representative Burrard.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Not a question, but just a statement. There are two cities or areas in the state of Oregon presently out of acceptance standards with EPA, primarily due to wood stove burning. Klamath Falls happens to be one of those areas, and Oak Ridge is the other area. There are seven other Oregon cities on the verge of crossing that line and not being able to meet those EPA standards. There is money in this for some education and to help those areas. And so I'll be supporting this bill simply because of the indoor wood stove burning assistance, because we have learned from past experience in Klamath Falls, DEQ is far more preferable to have working in your area than is EPA. So I will support this ridiculous...
I would defend it.
Yeah, I guess the sentence that sticks out to me is under the school's idle reduction is the last sentence that says the project's modeled on a Washington program that was successful in reducing vehicle emissions from idling at schools by 50%. Sounds like a good deal.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion besides Senator Devlin? Yes, Senator Devlin, please go ahead.
Mr. Co-Chair, you know I'm a person of integrity, and I do have to admit that even though I think it was probably the most deserving of these grants, one of the grants that the EPA said that they're not interested in funding at this time is the grant to reduce pollutants from residential wood stoves, which just goes to show you the logic of the federal government.
It's not the federal government. Please represent.
I'll be changing my vote.
That'd be understood. Mr. Integrity. Further discussion. Objections. Representative Burrard, Representative Hannah. Representative Morris and Senator Morris, Senator Whitsitt, thank you. And looks like Representative Morgan got her hand in there. Good. Passes. All right. Let's go to Department of Human Services. Another grant. Let's see if Representative Nathanson has any better luck.
Mr. Co-Chair, do you care which one I deliver first?
Doesn't matter, actually.
Oh, EPA is first up. Or
I don't care.
Doesn't matter. Okay.
Just start talking.
The Department of Human Services is seeking retroactive approval to apply for a United States Environmental Protection Agency grant in the amount of $150,000 over 18 months to address environmental health hazards among pregnant women. Grant funds would be used to fund three county demonstration projects within the department's maternity case management program. County projects would be selected based on their responses to a department request for proposals. These projects would attempt to improve the knowledge and practices of visiting public health nurses and prenatal care providers concerning environmental health hazards that negatively affect pregnancy outcomes. These hazards include mercury, tobacco products, pesticides, or chemicals used for hobbies. After the demonstration projects have ended, lessons learned from them will be incorporated into the statewide maternity case management program. The grant does not require general fund matching funds or additional positions. The grant application is due April 26th. Thus, the Joint Committee on Ways and Means would be approving this grant application retroactively. The Department of Administrative Services provided the grant application letter from DHS to the Legislative Fiscal Office on April 16th. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Representative. Questions? Discussion? Yes, Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. To the carrier, what counties was it that the case study was going to be done in?
It has not been determined. That will basically be a competitive process. If someone wants to amplify, that would be fine. A department analyst. But it's my understanding that it hasn't been determined, that there will be mostly like an RFP process. Counties will submit applications and then be selected based on the qualifications.
Good answer. Over discussion? Representative Jensen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Given my tirade a couple of meetings ago in relationship to the Healthy Kids Plan and the prenatal coverage and work, I think this is a project that is very deserving and would encourage everyone's support.
Very good, sir. Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none. Objections? Seeing none. So ordered. Thank you. Representative Nathanson, about the other one.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Department of Human Services is seeking retroactive approval to apply for a U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Centers for Disease Control grant in the amount of $625,000 over 5 years to improve public health data systems. Grant funds will be used to enhance the Public Health Division's FamilyNet data system, which is currently under development. Specifically, the grant would be used to develop one phase of the project, the ability to move client data from various county and private provider systems to the statewide FamilyNet data system. These data are from programs and services delivered to clients of the Oregon Maternal and Child Health Program and Children with Special Needs Program within the Public Health Division. Data sets include vaccination, women, infants, and children, or WIC nutritional program, and newborn hearing screening data. DHS indicates that these data can be used to inform policymakers and program managers about the population DHS is serving and to improve program outcomes. The grant does not require general fund matching funds or additional positions, nor does the department anticipate that this grant will lead to future general fund requests. The grant application is due April 27th. Thus, the Joint Committee on Ways and Means would be approving this grant application retroactively. The Department of Administrative Services provided the grant application letter from DHS to the Legislative Fiscal Office on April 16th. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Representative. Good job. Further discussion? Senator Johnson.
I'm channeling former colleague Len Hannon. Why retroactively on two applications?
There's a problem with LFO, I believe.
That's not the right answer.
Staff? No.
That's the answer we got in committee.
Mr. Co-Chair and Senator Johnson, it is a problem with LFO. He didn't
Good
get
job.
It scheduled fast enough and the analysis written fast enough.
Things happen.
First time ever Roger shocked me in the knees. First time.
Trying to save something.
Mr. Chair?
My world is crushed. Yes, sir.
I don't think, as a good colleague from Ashland has characterized this, it's a problem with LFO. I think it's a larger problem for this legislature and one that at some time we must deal with and offer a very significant solution to our professional offices that are understaffed, underfunded, and overworked. That's the issue here.
Yes.
It's not a failure of LFO. It's a failure of this body to recognize the value of our professional offices.
Here. Mr. Chair.
Okay, let's not get too carried away. Yes, Senator Winters.
Well, I just have to echo my good friend from Tumalos because he's absolutely correct that that is the problem and the issue.
Very good.
And since I started this conversation as chair, I was trying to save some embarrassment for a person I have great respect for who does a great job and is swamped with work right now. And there's no way he could have gotten done any faster.
Okay. Healthcare reform is dead, right, John?
Absolutely.
Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just am offering a hope up here that members will remember the testimony of the two good senators on this when the Legislative Assembly's budget comes before this committee.
Sees opportunity, takes advantage thereof. Okay, very good, sir. Other comments? Good comments, actually. Very good comments. Objections? Seeing none, so ordered. All right, Department of Human Services. Another federal grant, this time Senator Gordley, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, and let me first take this opportunity to thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, for attending the Mental Health Caucus. Your presentation, your comments were very helpful to the understanding of that body and how mental health reform may be addressed in this session. The Department of Human Services is seeking retroactive approval to apply for a U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration grant in the amount of $426,200 over 3 years to improve mental health services, outcome data, and program performance. Grant funds would be used to continue work on a current mental health data infrastructure project that is funded through a federal grant from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The existing project is scheduled to end September 2007. Under current grant funding, Oregon and other states have been working with the federal government to develop a uniform reporting system that includes national outcome measures. The reporting of outcome data is consistent with legislative directives to create program performance measures, establish goals, and to measure actual results. Although this grant has a 100% matching requirement, DHS states that it will meet this requirement through in-kind use of its current staff. No additional general fund or positions are needed for this grant. The grant application was due May 3rd. While the Human Services Subcommittee reviewed this grant several days ago prior to the grant application deadline, the Joint Committee on Ways and Means would be approving this grant application retroactively. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator. Comments? Discussion? Objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Department of Transportation, another grant, Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Your Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends approval of the Oregon Department of Transportation's request to approve the submission of federal grant applications for six projects totaling $7.85 million to the Federal Highway Administration and a grant application to the Federal Transit Administration's Bus and Bus Facilities Discretionary Program. Grant amounts will be determined at a later date. ODOT proposes the submission of six grant applications to the Federal Highway Administration under the Community and Systems Preservation Program on behalf of the Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs and one on behalf of the Portland Western Railroad, an application under the Truck Parking Facilities Program, and an application for three bridges under the Innovative Bridge Research and Deployment Program. The grant application deadline for these requests is April 30, 2007. In addition, an application to the Federal Transit Administration for the Bus and Bus Facilities Discretionary Program is proposed on behalf of rural and small urban and rural tribal agencies with populations under 200,000. Matching fund requirements will be paid by the local entities receiving the grant. Because ODOT is required to solicit applications from local entities, the aggregate amount of the grant application will not be known until after May 14, 2007. The grant application deadline is May 22, 2007. Your Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends approval with discretion to ODOT to report the amount of the grant request for the bus and bus facilities when the grant application is finalized, and they will be reporting to the was finalized to the subcommittee and the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Sorry.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Good job today, committee. Before we go, I guess I'd like to give you, Senator Gordley asked a good point, to give you a little update as to where we are in the process. The co-chairs feel we're in the home stretch. The relatively easy, smaller budgets are pretty much behind us. The tougher nuts to crack are in front of us. And leadership from this group is going to be necessary to educate the rest of the members of our body about the zero-sum game we pretty much feel we're in. The subcommittee chairs in economic development natural resources, general government, what else? Well, those three, and human services, excuse me, are going to have to find money within their current budgets, the allocations that the co-chairs gave them at the beginning of session. They can mix and match in that, and that's fine. Public safety, we're still working on that 2%, 1% for the co-chairs, so we'll be donating a little bit to the greater cause. And education's in trouble, we know that, so we're going to try and help education out if there's any additional dollars to make sure that our community college and higher education budgets meet muster for the state of Oregon. It's not going to be an easy task. To the extent that members are cooperative, we'll be cooperative with them. It is expected, regardless of cooperation or not, that if you have concerns about the budget, that you know is being work sessioned that week, that you get to the chairs. Common courtesy and ways and means dictates that you at least let the chairs know you have some concerns. That gives the chairs the opportunity to at least work with you if you want to be worked with, address your concerns, because it is expected that when the work session is scheduled, that these budgets should be coming out, if not that day, the very next day. So we're trying to get these budgets to you several days in advance. So first, for ways and means, but we're trying to be as open and collaborative as we can. Hopefully you remember some of your comments from when you were working the budget, and the chairs and the vice chairs working together will hopefully get to you. So hopefully things will go smoothly. There'll be some rough bumps along the way. It's just the way the process works. At this point in time, all the budgets will be worked by, well, frankly, the end of next week, I think. And then we'll be doing serious work sessions through the end of May and hopefully a little bit in the very first part of June, and we should hopefully be done at that time. With that, we're adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you.